Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The best hard rock, the best heavy metal, Talking Metal, a podcast hosted by Mark Striegel and John Astronomy. Available through iTunes and most other podcast providers. Feel the power, feel the glory, TalkingMetal.com.
Hey, it's John Astronomy here. Take two, we are at the Juan Valdez Coffee Shop, 44th Street, 9th Avenue in New York City. 41st Street, this is Mark Striegel.
We just taped about a 30-minute podcast and realized that we had the mic jack plugged into the headphone jack, so that was a good podcast, too bad. But anyways, guys, we had a great time hanging out with you at the Screaming Metal Show about a week and a half ago out in Clifton, New Jersey, a rock and roll haven in New Jersey. Clifton, it rocks, that town. If you guys have seen the Wrestler movie, a lot of that was actually shot in Clifton, and I got a cold, as you can hear today, by the way. It sounds like a frog's in my throat. But anyways, big special thanks to Z-Man, Exciter, Shotaholic. I mean, Shot is amazing. He brought us these amazing drawings. He drove all the way down from Massachusetts. Z-Man, in from California with his wife. Exciter, all the way up from D.C. Maelstrom was hanging out. Gary Maelstrom drove out from Long Island. There was over 250 Talking Metal Maniacs packed into this small club.
Yeah, there were about 250 paying customers, which is unbelievable. There were probably about 50 or more non-paying customers in there, so we just had a blast. The place was jam-packed. We broke attendance records at Dingbats for at least 5-6 months. CC Banana was telling us that a great band like Brittany Fox, for example, played there. And how many people did they have?
According to him, he said they had 35 paying customers when Brittany Fox played there, and which is sad because that's a great band, and you'd think people would be out supporting them. But, I mean, to think that we had 250 people there, and that's all thanks to you guys, the Talking Metal listeners, and Dan Lorenzo and Alan Tecchio, who brought a lot of their fan base, too. So it was just a blast. Ron Lipnicki on the drums. We had Rob Dukes come up on stage. The Talking Metal family was fully represented with Metal Mike in the house, Bud Friendly, CC Banana. It was a rockin' time. Guys, you made our year with that gig. Thanks for making it happen.
Thank you, guys. Shotaholic, thank you so much for that artwork. All of you dudes, Z-Man, Exciter, Maelstrom, thank you so much. It means so much to us. You don't know. We really appreciate it. Thanks to Rob Dukes. Thanks to Metal Mike. Thanks to Dave from Autumn Hour, who came up. Thanks to Low Buzz, who did a special guest appearance with us and let us use their gear. These guys are killer. It's their last gig. It was their last gig, but we hope they reconsider because they were a great band. We got a really great show today for you guys. We have an interview coming up with our new friend, John Wiederhorn, host of MTV2's Headbangers Blog podcast. Great guy. That's coming up soon. We've got some music from Exodus, some music from Low Buzz, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mark Striegel.
Cool. Thanks, John. Yeah, let's play some Exodus right now. Big thanks to Rob Dukes for coming down to the show and jamming with us. This is Raise by Exodus. Buy it on iTunes for 99 cents.
that was raised by Exodus. Buy it on iTunes. It's linked through our show notes. Special thanks again to Rob Dukes.
Yeah, use those links in the show notes. Those help us out. Breaking Guns N' Roses news, a couple items here. This, I believe, is an exclusive. A lot rumors flying that Frank is no longer in the band because Brain, former Primus and Guns N' Roses drummer, posted something saying he was going to be touring with Guns N' Roses. Guys, I have heard from Frank. He is still in the band, so no need to start rumors on the message boards. Frank is definitely in Guns N' Roses, and Guns is working on some stuff right now, so we look forward to hearing from Guns N' Roses real soon. Let's get into a little Low Buzz. We played the gig with these guys. They helped us out, and we used some of their equipment. Great band, great song. Sound sample from Low Buzz. This is Problem.
That was Problem by Low Buzz.
We'll blow through some of this. My brother has an article up in our news section written by Mike Striegel, my brother, about Kiss. It's a good editorial. I recommend reading it if you are a Kiss fan. I apologize. I'm sick. I'm struggling here today. There's going to be another year this summer with no Ozfest, which is a sad thing. Ozzy is hitting the studio and I guess doing this show for Fox, which I saw a trailer for. It didn't really look all that great. I didn't think. Have you seen that yet?
No, I have not yet.
Okay. Anyways, I have an interview up on about.com. The exact link is http://heavymetal.about.com. It's in the interview section. Big thanks to Chad for hooking that up. And I think Chad said he talked to you, too. I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, I want to talk to him. We haven't spoken yet, but we are definitely going to set up an interview soon. And I've always checked out stuff on his site. I've frequented that particular website. He's a cool dude.
Cool. Well, let's listen to another piece of music, and then we'll come back with our interview with John. This is a New York City man called SOS, and this is called Daddy Like.
To you.
That was Daddy Like by SOS. You can visit them online, sosnyc.com. Check it out. And I guess go into the interview?
Yeah. Why don't we go into the interview? We'll come out with a tune, and then we'll say goodbye to you guys. But let me tell you guys, we are doing a lot of work with MTV Networks right now. This is an interview we did at the famous 1515 Broadway building right in the middle of Times Square with our good friend John Wiederhorn, who is the host of the Headbangers Blog podcast, and he also does the Headbangers Blog. And this guy is, like, totally into metal. He posts tons of great metal news and cool articles that he writes on the Headbangers Blog multiple times per day, and he's a writer for Revolver and a bunch of other magazines. So you'll hear that in this interview. Without any further ado, here is John Wiederhorn. Hey, this is John Astronomy. I'm here with Mark Striegel. We are at the official MTV Networks Lodge with our very special guest, John Wiederhorn of the Headbangers Blog. How you doing, John?
Doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Pretty good, Mark.
Maybe you should explain what the Lodge is. I'll do it. The Lodge is a cafeteria type of thing. It actually used to actually look like a ski lodge, but it has since been remodeled, and it looks like something out of 2001 or something right now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's like this silver chain metal wall, a bunch of TV screens, some crazy little lights, and we've seen a lot of wild stuff here. I've seen Sheryl Crow play here live. I've been, and let me explain this to you guys, there is an actual balcony that you can go out in the summer and you can eat overlooking Times Square, and it's really, really cool.
Cool. But we're honored to have John here from the Headbangers Ball blog. How did you get involved with Headbangers Ball?
Well, before I was doing Headbangers Blog, I was at MTV News, and I worked there for 4 years, covering all kinds of news stories, writing features, but basically metal was my beat. So I did all kinds of music, but sort of I was the go-to guy when there was a Metallica story to do or a Priest story or, you know, something was going on with Korn or whoever. And then several years ago, I actually had my second child, very not metal, but and at that point I decided that the insanity of a newsroom really wasn't the place to be with a newborn. So I went off staff. Continued freelancing for MTV News and freelanced for a bunch of other places, including Revolver magazine. Then at one point, about 18 months ago, a couple people approached me and said, hey, you know what, we're starting up these blogs. Would you be interested in the metal blog? And, you know, it would be the official Headbangers Ball blog, which would link to the, you know, the television show, of course. I thought that was a great opportunity, and it's just it's worked out really well.
And they have now put up other Headbangers Ball content on the site. You can actually watch some of the old shows, I guess. Is that correct?
Well, we have a lot of the videos accessible from the site. And then we do a lot of video premieres in tandem with the show. So, say, you know, there's going to be a new creator video. We will ask if we can get the exclusive or rights to put that up on the blog on a Thursday or a Friday. So we'll have the video up before anyone else has it on their site. And then it'll go on the show on Saturday. So it's a nice package. And we've worked together really closely with Headbangers Ball to do that. We've linked to sections from past shows, but and we do have the most current shows every week accessible from the blog. But if you want to go back to the Ricky Rackman years, that's a little tougher.
There are some of them up there, though. There was an old episode with Howard Stern and Leslie West that was on the site, which I was watching the other day, through the banner that we have up on Talking Metal.
Yeah, them. We have now two banners up, by the way. We have a banner that links directly to the headbangersblog.com site, and then we have another banner that links to a Headbangers Ball page. Maybe that's what you
it's
were
like
watching.
Almost an archive page of sorts.
Right. Yeah, there's a Headbangers Ball page on MTV2. And that will also link to the blog. But, yeah, to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Headbangers Ball, we put up a bunch of content, including the first few shows from Headbangers Ball. We couldn't get the first because the tape apparently burned in a fire. So that is kind of metal.
That fire happened at 1775 when the main offices were up there, And it was the guy who hosted 120 Minutes, Dave Kendall. It was his office where the fire started.
Did Dave Kendall set the place ablaze? Is that what
he actually did? And what's really funny is that, for example, here's a tape that's very important to me: the unmasking of Kiss in 1983. There were two physical tapes. There was a blue 1-inch tape, a 1-inch tape in a blue case, and then there was a 3/4 tape. And if you actually go pull that 3/4 tape today, the tape case is melted due to this infamous fire.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff lost in that fire. It's an interesting part of MTV history. So how often is the blog updated? And besides videos, video premieres, what else can we expect on the Headbangers blog?
The Headbangers blog is updated pretty much 3 to 4 times a day. I put 3 to 4 posts up. We do video premieres along with some copy, usually quotes from band members about what went into the video shoot and who worked on it and what that was like. We also have interviews with artists. Every Friday we do a podcast, which is usually an interview with one musician from a band. We just did Mark Morton from Lamb of God. Before that we did Doc Coyle from God Forbid. So those have been going really well. And then we have a variety of other content, including just breaking news stories, reviews of shows, you know, with a lot of them have accompanying photography. I'll just bring my SLR, we can get a photo pass, and just shoot off some quick shots, which is a lot of fun. Without any real formal training in photography, it's been a good hobby, and it's pretty cool to be in the front row taking photos of some of these guys. So that's cool. And then we also have guest blogs where we ask, you know, musicians from, and we've had everyone from Chad from Mudvayne to Maynard from Tool. We just ask them to write about something that's of interest to them, really. You know, we're not looking for partying in the tour bus kind of story, or we're on the road with blank band kind of piece, but just you know, sort of an essay about something that they find interesting or meaningful, and we've gotten some great stuff. We got a really good piece on drinking and fine wine that was done by Scott Ian of Anthrax, which was very cool. And the gals from Kitty wrote us about their love for horror movies, so it's really cool. It's a nice additional feature we have on the site.
Well, what is the best way that the Talking Metal listener could access the blog as far as a web address?
The best address is www.headbangersblog.com. And it's not Headbangers Ball Blog, so it's a little confusing, even though we're called the Headbangers Ball Blog. It's headbangersblog.com.
Very cool, John. So I wanted to actually go back a little further and ask you about your history, because we've actually had Talking Metal listeners ask us how to get involved in A, podcasting, or B, journalism, and you're the perfect guy to answer the journalism question. Now, did you go to school in Boston? Is that how it started?
Yeah, I went to Boston University School of Communications, and I majored in journalism.
Great. And were you always a metal fan back then, or when did you really find out that you really just loved metal?
No, I grew up with metal. I was, you know, a big fan of AC/DC, Judas Priest, Rush when I was a pre-teenager. Kind of a funny story. I have a cousin who's a couple of years older than me. He and I were talking about music, and he had this just wild, crunchy guitar-driven stuff that he was playing for me. I'm like, wow, what is that? And it turned out to be Judas Priest's Hellbent for Leather, and he showed me the cover art of the you know, the guy with the sunglasses that were cracked and shattered and covered in blood, and I was sold from that moment on.
Cool. And you also, outside of MTV, you do a lot of other articles and journalism for magazines like Revolver. You've done some of their recent cover stories. Can you talk about who you've covered recently for Revolver magazine?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a senior writer at Revolver, and I've done cover stories and features for them. I've recently done cover stories on Slipknot The Metal Masters Tour, which was the Judas Priest, Testament, Motorhead, and Heaven and Hell Tour. I've done Mudvayne. That was a cover story for them. And I'm working on a cover story now on Mastodon. So they keep me pretty busy.
What was really interesting, and I found this out from your article on Mudvayne, is that the current album out is not technically their newest album. They actually have another album completely done. And is that true? And tell us a little bit about that.
Right, yeah, exactly. It's funny. They were working on this record 18 months ago, finished it. I believe Dave Fortman was the producer. If I'm wrong, that's bad for me. But it was done. They were getting ready to go on the road with where Chad Gray and his guitarists were getting ready to go on the road with Hell Yeah, which they're also involved in, which is of course the band with Vinnie Paul, ex Pantera, and they had this period where they couldn't do anything with Mudvayne because they were going to be on the road for a year with Hell Yeah. So what they did is they put the record on hold. It was done. They decided they'd revisit it once they got off the tour and then see if they wanted to add anything to it. They got off the tour, decided they still loved it, and they just wrote a bunch of new songs, finished a second record, and they put the first one out like 3 months ago, and the second one they want it probably to hit before the end of the year.
It's almost unheard of for a band to actually have two albums completely finished, and then they release one, go on tour, and then have another one ready to go immediately.
Right. Well, it's kind of what System of a Down did, I guess, with Hypnotize and Mesmerize, but in their case, they wrote a batch of songs that were completed, written all at the same time, and then decided to split them up. But yeah, in this case, they actually finished a record. Mudvayne weren't sure they still wanted to use all that material, and then they did, and then they wrote more stuff. They're just a very prolific bunch of guys, and it's sort of an interesting turn of events what's happened. But they're insisting that the next album is the one they're really excited about as much as they like what they just put out. So it's sort of a predicament they're in, waiting to deal with this material. While right now they've got to promote what they've got out.
And John, before we let you go, I just wanted to stress to the Talking Metal listeners that Headbangers Ball is alive and well in many different forms. We have the podcast, which you host, which is available in places like iTunes. We have the Headbangers blog, and the TV show is still happening, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The TV show is now 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. on Saturday, and some people said, oh, it's 2 a.m., it's no longer at midnight. That doesn't bode well. But actually, the marketing studies have proven that a lot more people watch it at that hour, and it does better in the ratings. So that's why it was moved to that time, and of course people TiVo it. So we'll put a 10 new videos or so on every week, some of which are premieres, some of which are just things that are in rotation. And there's a nice interplay between what's on Headbangers Ball and what's on Headbangers Blog, so, tune into both.
And is it still mostly new stuff with a few classics sprinkled in, or is there less classic stuff on the Headbangers Ball TV show now?
We try to get in at least a couple of classic videos, but a classic video can still be a video by a new band, so it's not always, Judas Priest, You've Got Another Thing Coming, or Black Sabbath's Paranoid. Sometimes we'll put up an old video by, Carcass, or an old video by a new band like Killswitch Engage. So, there's a lot of things that can classify as classic. But, yeah, we try to get as much of the show as we can to be fresh and, vibrant and new, as many premieres as possible, and then a bit of the classics. So, a little bit of everything.
Great. Well, John, thank you very much for taking the time out to hang out with Mark and I on Talking Metal. And we hope to hang out with you on the Headbangers Blog podcast very soon.
Sounds great. It was a lot of fun. Thanks.
Don't be scarred for life. Don't
What you just heard was the band Aftertaste with the song Why. Great band. I'm glad I discovered these guys. They sent their CD in to Talking Metal a few months back, and I finally got around to listening to it. Great stuff. Aftertaste. That's Aftertaist. And the song, of course, was Why.
Very cool, Mark. Mark is the guy that always knows about the new metal happening. And knew about a lot of stuff before I did. Mark was the first dude to ever tell me about a website way back in the day in the late 90s. It's really cool. And speaking of the website, I am going to start up on that Lady Space column again. I already have somebody that is in the wings. I got the photos. They're ready to go. And I've got a whole bunch of people on deck, including a few friends of mine that showed up to the hotel for the encores after the Screaming Metal gig.
Very cool. Can't wait to see those. Cool. I just wanted to mention before we go that the AFP has released their top 20 best-selling albums of 2008 globally. These are the biggest-selling albums of 2008, period. Number one, Coldplay. Number two, AC/DC, Black Ice. Number three was the Mamma Mia soundtrack, Duffy at number four. Metallica at number 5 with Death Magnetic. Going down to number 10, Rihanna. We're jumping over some. 11 was Madonna with Hard Candy. 13 was Pink with Funhouse. And at number 14, the number 14th biggest selling album of 2008, period, Guns N' Roses, Chinese Democracy, beating Britney Spears, who is at number 15. For anybody who still insists this album was a failure, you are sick in the head. I am serious, man. This is an album that was only out for 5 weeks in 2008, yet it beats Britney Spears, it beats the Jonas Brothers, beats Taylor Swift. I mean, my God.
Yeah, and here's another thing. If you just take out the hard rock metal, it's the third biggest selling album of the year, and remember, guys, it was only out for like a little over a month. If you just count the metal bands, you got AC/DC 1, Metallica 2, and Guns N' Roses 3. So, you know, we don't want to hear any more of that negative Guns N' Roses talk, because this album did great, And, you know, you can't argue at worldwide statistics. And, you know, that's that. Congratulations, Axl, on Guns N' Roses.
This is American Uprise with the song American Uprise. Have a good one, guys. Send us an email at talkingmetal@yahoo.com.
Of our own. Rise up in our-